welcome to our service for Sunday, the 14th of March, 2021, here in Bedhampton Parish. My name is Max Cross. I'm the church leader, the rector of Bedhampton. And of course, today is not only the fifth Sunday of Lent, but also Mothering Sunday. And we'll be celebrating our mums as we come to worship our God this Sunday. But before we dive into that, just a few pieces of news for you. You probably get your news sheet by email or pick it up from St. Thomas's during the week. But if you don't, do feel free to ring the office and let them know, and we will make sure that you get a copy of this. So this week, just to let you know that on next Wednesday, there will be no streamed communion service this coming Wednesday. But our friends at St. Faith's in Havant do stream their communion service on Thursday at 10:30 at stfaith.com. And you can find out about that in the sheet or simply go to their website. Also to say, it's been some time now since we've had an administrator for the last year, since Alison moved on after furlough into a new role. But we are now in a position where we can move forward with employing a new administrator. You can find details about that on the website or in the news sheet. If you know anyone who you feel would fit really well into our team here at Bedhampton, why not give them a nudge and see if they might consider being part of our team as our parish administrator. So that's no service this Wednesday, a parish administrator. And also just to say, coming up after Easter, we are going to begin what we call bite-sized Bible. Have you ever felt guilty about not being able to read the whole Bible in 1 year, as some people suggest you should do? Well, God never wants us to feel guilty, but he does want us to dive into these scriptures. And so this year, starting the first Monday after Easter, we will be going through scripture. You can have that emailed to you every day, and you can choose whether you go through just the Gospels in 1 year, the Gospels and the whole of the New Testament in 1 year, whether you go through the Gospels and the New Testament and part of the Old Testament in 1 year, or whether you go through the whole Bible in 1 year. That's why we call it bite-sized Bible. You get to choose, and along the way, we'll explore what it means to be followers of Jesus who trust this set of scriptures. There'll be explanation videos every day if you want to choose to watch those or not. And also, there'll be an opportunity to discuss with others of us who are also on the same journey as you. What did that mean today when we read that in the Bible? I didn't understand that. And no one will be made to feel silly because we're all on this journey together. So let us know in the office if you want to join Bite-Sized Bible as you and I explore this wonderful gift from God together. That starts on the Monday after Easter. So do let us know if you want to be part of that. But of course, what we are really here today to do is to worship our God, to come before him as followers of Jesus, to get ourselves correct with him, which we can do because of what Jesus did on the cross for you and I, and to worship him. So before we begin in earnest, let's just pause for a moment. Let's gather our thoughts and bring to mind those that we would normally worship with. Let's reflect on our life. Cast our minds back over the last few weeks. Look at the areas of our lives where perhaps we haven't acted in the way that Jesus would have us act. And let's come before our God. I'll say a prayer after a little while, but let's be quiet for now. As we just come before our God, just maybe picture handing over to him the mistakes and the sins that you perhaps have committed over the last few weeks, knowing that he's keen to engage with you through his Spirit now. God of compassion, whose Son, Jesus Christ, the child of Mary, shared the life of a home in Nazareth, and on the cross drew the whole human family to himself. Strengthen us in our daily living, that in joy and in sorrow we may know the power of your presence to bind together and to heal through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, it's Mothering Sunday, and of course there can only be one hymn that brings to mind Mothering Sunday for me. And so now we're going to sing that classic of classics, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Things Bright and Beautiful. Does that take you straight back to your school assembly? It certainly does me. But of course, it's a great hymn to sing to our God on the day when we remember mums. And we've got our first Bible reading now, but who else would I have to read it but a mum? And of course, the mum that I have on hand is Susie. So come on, Susie, come and read the passage.
Good morning. So the passage is taken from John chapter 19, verses 25 to 27. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved, he said to her, "Dear woman, here is your son." And he said to this disciple, "Here is your mother." And from then on, this disciple took her into his home.
Thank you, Susie. So there we see Jesus himself taking care of his mother. I was saying to Susie and I, we were chatting earlier on, we were just saying at that point in the history, if Mary had not had protection, she would have been abandoned and we don't know what would have happened to her. But even at the last moment, as Jesus is bearing the weight of the world on his shoulders, he remembers his mum. Of course, some of us have our mums with us still and we celebrate that. Some of us have no longer see our mums and they have died, and that is sad. So that brings some sadness with today as well. Others of us have never known our mums. And perhaps we have women in our lives who act as our mothers would act. So today brings a whole mixture of emotions with it. And we forget, actually, that we tend to refer to God as Father God, quite rightly, but we forget he also is mentioned in the Bible in a motherly fashion. And so we can turn to him, our Father, also in the way that we would turn to our mother. I've got a prayer here from the Mothers Union, which they give to us every year to use. But before I pray this prayer for mums around the world, and indeed in Bedhampton today, let's take a moment to be quiet. And whatever our emotions are, to stand with God in those emotions. God of celebration, who rejoices with those who rejoice, we pray for those for whom Mothering Sunday is a time of thanksgiving and joy. God of compassion, who weeps with those who weep, we pray for those for whom Mothering Sunday is a time of heartache and pain. God of community, who calls the children to come to him, we thank you that your love abounds for families of every kind. God of comfort, who gathers us as hens gather its chicks, we thank you that your love surrounds the disappointed and hurt. God of every circumstance, we bring our thanks and praise that we belong to your family as your beloved children. Amen. Yeah, if you Google Mother's Union and Mother's Day prayer, I'm sure you'll find that really, really helpful prayer. Well, we had a bit of fun this weekend as I gathered together some mums from the parish, and we spent a bit of time talking about what it means to be a mum and the fun and the difficult part of being a mother. Here are the highlights. Welcome to our mums panel this Mothering Sunday. We have some mums with us here from the congregation of Bedhampton Parish, and we thought we'd just have a bit of fun and find out a bit more about what it's like to be a mum. What is the best thing, I wonder, about being a mum?
For me, I have to say it's the love that they bring and the friendship that develops later on.
It's the way they love and care for the parents and also for each other. I love to see them looking after each other.
It's seeing children develop and seeing them become individuals.
Kids! And then they all come running down the stairs and it's bedlam, and then we're out and then it's bedlam and then we're back. You know, I like that kind of troop.
I can't wait to build the relationship that you're talking about, Susie, further, because it is being a mother that I think the most difficult part is it can be a thankless task.
Difficult bit is about letting them be themselves and letting them make their own mistakes.
Finding time to go to the toilet on your own. And then I think further on is actually letting them go.
I'm a naval wife, so my husband disappeared to sea for up to 6 months at a time. And during that time, I really learnt to understand. Well, I understood what it was like. I felt like a part-time single parent.
I found the tiredness, especially at the beginning, and the the midnight feeds and all that sort of thing, and the tiredness spilled over into the day.
I made sure that Reuben's first word was daddy. So then when he woke in the night and shouted daddy, I'd say, Mike, he wants you.
I was doing a devotion back in the first lockdown called Overwhelmed by My Blessings. And that kind of phrase just really kind of hit the nail on the head, in that my children were something I really, really kind of prayed about and I feel I was blessed with. And then I thought, do you know what, blow me, I'm done now. And I keep on saying to them, right, I'm sending you back to the hospital, that's it. And Grace is old enough now to go, they won't have us, Mummy, I know.
And if I was a tiny, tiny bit like her, then I would be delighted that I've been successful in achieving, you know, being a good mum.
I sort of watched her bring up my sister, who was sort of 12 years younger than I was, so I could see what she was doing. I realised that every generation had different sort of cultural references, constraints.
I think the amount of laughter I had with her.
My mum taught me to be independent and taught me to believe that actually, not that I was equal to men, actually, that I could do anything better than a man could do.
I think, you know, to put the time into our children, because that's what mum did. She's amazing and I love her to bits.
It's just a phase.
And it gets easier.
Remember, it's just a phase. Except, grow out of it.
Except for the laundry, which gets worse because everything gets bigger, but everything else gets better.
To cherish every day.
Yeah.
Don't underestimate the importance of actually loving your child. It doesn't matter if you can't give them things materially.
When we had Beau, Anne, who's our church warden, came by when he was kind of like 2 days old and just knocked on the door and said, oh, hello, and came in and held the baby and dressed the baby and changed the baby. And that support was really, really, we were really grateful for it without knowing we needed it.
Don't be frightened or think you're failing to ask for support or some help.
Behind closed doors, you don't know what they're struggling with. And you know, I think we need to understand that we're all human and we all have our own struggles. Mm-hmm. And our kids, as much as we love them, aren't all perfect.
You know, we're all different. Mm-hmm. I think basically we're just winging it.
Yeah.
Doing the best we can.
We had two little girls come and play in the paddling pool with Grace, Joy and Beau. Everyone's having literally the best time because they've never seen another living soul for months. And we planned this and we were so excited and the weather was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And then they're all going round and round in lap slide pool, round and round and round. And then unfortunately, Joy, in excitement, manages to do a poo at the bottom of the slide. And they're all going round and round and round and round. And then I noticed, I didn't notice actually, one of the children noticed, screams, because nobody knows where the poo is, who's got it, who hasn't got it. So basically I've just got to line them all up. I've got to withdraw the swimming pool, withdraw the slide, and just like spray them all. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Most of our stories do involve poo.
On behalf of all the children and the dads out there, to say thank you, ladies, for being the mums that you are. Thank you for coming on board and doing this with us and sharing your stories and wisdom. And have a wonderful Mother's Day.
Thank you.
We had great fun having that conversation. I almost felt like I should just leave them alone in the room recording themselves. But it was good fun and a privilege for me to be there as well. More of that will be available later on the website and on Facebook. If you want to catch up for the full length conversation that we had about what it means to be a mum. So congratulations to all you mums out there. Have a fantastic day and know that we appreciate all that you do. As we continue now, though, in our worship, Catherine is going to read for us from Philippians. Remember, we are going through Philippians in Discipleship Explored, our Lent course. And so here we are now to hear from Catherine.
This morning's reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. Do everything without grumbling. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfil his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of the Christ that I did not run or labour in vain. But even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, and that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs, for he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for that, Catherine. It's all the mums doing the readings today, isn't it? Well, just before we dive into this Discipleship Explored, our subject matter for this week and being obedient to Christ, I want to give you a quick update on Fat Rector Slim. As you may know, I'm on a health kick to try and lose a bit of this weight, but also to raise money for the parish at the same time. Some of you have been kind enough to sponsor me pound for pound, or 50p per pound, or 20p per pound that I lose. And I have some good news for you this week, because over the last 3 weeks, I have lost 35 pounds. So come on, guys, pay up. Yeah, you're right. I suspect some of you may not believe that I have managed to lose that much in just 3 weeks. You may say something like, well, Max, you look as though you might lost a pound or two, but to lose 2.5 stone in 3 weeks, I don't think so. There doesn't seem to be any evidence of that. And today, actually, the word evidence is key as we look at what it means to be obedient to Christ. It's the key word for today's subject matter. Where is the evidence in our lives that we are followers of Jesus, that we are apprentices of Jesus? Where is the evidence that we are obedient to Christ? I don't know about you, but sometimes I come across people who say things like this. They say things like, well, I might come to church on a Sunday, but to be honest with you, it's just full of hypocrites. Now, of course, the textbook answer to that would be, well, come on in, one more won't make any difference. But the reality is, actually, that is a reasonable concern, isn't it? Do the people who call themselves followers of Christ actually act like that? You may well know that the word that we use for hypocrites comes from the Greek word hypocritus, which means actor. And it literally is translated from the Greek phrase to interpret from beneath. Because what would happen is actors in ancient Greece would wear a mask to express the character that they were playing. And they would literally speak their words from under the mask, as it were, from beneath, from behind the mask. And of course, the question is, do we wear a mask? Do we act one way on a Sunday, but then go out into the world Monday to Saturday and act quite differently? Or do we act one way in front of those who we go to church with, those who we do life group with, home group with, but then when we're at work, act differently? Well, Paul starts our reading today that Catherine read with a call to us to act the same all the time. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence. A call to us to be the same wherever we are. But maybe the question is more, why obey or be obedient at all? Well, as ever, the clue is in the very first word that Paul says. He says, therefore. And as we know, when we read the word therefore, what Paul is about to say is based upon what he has already said. And what Paul has already said to us over the last few weeks through Philippians is that we can be confident in Christ, that we can trust that Jesus is there for us, that we can live in Christ, putting God first in our lives. And as we heard last week, whatever happens, we must be one in Christ. We must be united as God's people here in Bedhampton, as his church. We must be united across the world. And all of this has been covered over the last few weeks, and the videos and discussion videos are up on our website. You can go up and check those out. But one of the key things that we must understand, the therefore part, is this. As we heard last week, we heard about Jesus, who is God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, but taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus models obedience in the coming of his kingdom. The evidence is that the servant king is obedient. Obedient to the cross, to death, for you and I. Therefore, we are obedient to God because Christ was obedient to the cross. In other words, we are obedient. We love because we were first loved by God, who was obedient to death for you and I. So even though you and I may not like the idea of being obedient, we need to look at this deeply. You see, if we are apprentices to Jesus, the evidence of obedience will be seen in our lives by others. Now that is challenging, isn't it? Is the evidence of your obedience to Christ seen by others in you? Is the evidence of me being obedient to Jesus seen by others? Seen by your family, your friends? Because Paul says, our family and our friends, my family and my friends, will see Jesus in us by the way we are obedient to God, by the difference our faith makes in us. Work out your salvation, Paul says, with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything, he says, without grumbling or arguing. so that you may become blameless and pure. Children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. And then you will shine. You will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. As I read those words and as I prepared, I believe the Holy Spirit spoke to me and dragged me back to the Old Testament, to the old part of our scriptures, the part before Jesus came. I got dragged back to Genesis and to Exodus as I read those words. I wonder if God is speaking to us in that today. You see, as we know, Paul was a man of the Jewish faith before he chose to follow Jesus. Not just any person, but actually a teacher of the Jewish faith. Paul knows his scriptures. Paul knows his history. Paul knows his Jewish traditions. I wonder if Paul is alluding to that, to his ancestors in these words. In Exodus we read, "In the desert the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron." That's from chapter 16, verse 2. The whole community grumbled. Is Paul saying, look, this is what happens when you grumble? As we know, Moses was a sort of foretelling of Jesus, was a type of Jesus. Is Paul saying, actually, if you grumble and are disobedient to God, you will wander around the desert for years and not know true faith? Is Paul saying, if you are disobedient to God, you will go to church week in, week out and still not find peace and still not find the life to the full that Christ promises? And then on the flip side, we read that you will shine among others. If you're obedient to Christ, you will shine among others like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. And again, I was just dragged back to Genesis and Abraham and the trust that Abraham had, the faith, the obedience that Abraham had in God. And his reward, "I will make you your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky," he says. Is God promising us blessing upon blessing? Is God promising us life to the full, a life of peace when we are obedient to Christ, when we work out our salvation with fear and trembling? Not that we earn our salvation. You can never earn your salvation. Jesus has already done that. But that our response is that because we were first loved, we love and we work out in obedience our salvation in Christ. That there is evidence in our life, that people see the difference. I wonder what our take-home message is today. You see, for me, today, the question may be, are you and I willing to examine ourselves? Are we willing to examine ourselves in obedience to Christ and say, is there evidence that I am a follower of Jesus in my life? If we look at the example of Jesus, or indeed Paul, or even in the examples that Paul mentions in today's passages, Timothy and Epaphroditus, Paul mentions that they are good examples of lives. Do other people see that in us? In another letter to a church in Galatia, Paul writes in Galatians 5, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." He says the acts of the flesh are obvious, i.e. the evidence that you are not committed to Christ are obvious. And they are sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfishness, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. And he says, "I warn you as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." Is the evidence in our lives any one of those? Rage. Dissension amongst each other. But he goes on. "But the fruit of the Spirit," the evidence that you are a follower of Jesus, "is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Not that we have it sorted, but that these are the goals in our lives, that we seek to be obedient to Christ by becoming like him, with love and joy, peace and forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so perhaps the question for us this week is to ask ourselves, are we willing to examine the evidence in our lives? Are we truly obedient to Christ? We're going to sing a song in a moment. We've gone for some of the classics this week. And we're going to sing a song that actually is one of the favourites of my wife Susie, I Will Worship. But before we do, and before we say those words out loud, let's take a moment to be quiet and to begin to examine ourselves to see if we are willing to be obedient to Christ. Let's just be quiet wherever you are right now. I'll invite the Spirit to speak to us, and then we'll allow him to do that. Holy Spirit, wherever we are right now, in whatever time frame we find ourselves, we pray that you will speak to our very hearts about your pleasure in our lives, about your correction in our lives. Let us be honest with you. Just as we were being quiet then, I sometimes get these sort of images in my head as I pray to God's Spirit. And I just had a picture really in my head, in my imagination, as it were, of someone just putting bags of money on a table and then walking away. I think that's a picture of God reminding us actually he has paid for our mistakes in full. And we can walk away with him. So let's not take today, if we're feeling corrected by the God's Holy Spirit, let's not take that as a negative thing. We know that Christ has paid in full. When we turn to him and say sorry for our mistakes, that is paid in full. We can walk on with him. Instead, actually, let's put our own stake in the ground today and say, actually, irrelevant of the evidence in my life in the past, the evidence will be plain for others in the future. Let's take a time to sing or let God's Spirit speak to us as we hear this song, I Will Worship. Come from a certain tradition, that is a bit of a classic song, so we've gone a bit retro with both of our songs today. But also now we're going to move on as we move on in our service and bring to God, our God who cares so much for you and I, our prayers. And Rosalind is going to lead us in our prayers today.
We thank you, dear Father, that as we draw near to you, you draw near to us. And we come into the very throne room of heaven. You call us your children and lavish your love and care on us. We thank you that we can bring our prayers to you and that you hear us. We bring the world's needs to you, Father. We pray for the environment and how our lack of care for it is contributing to climate change. It breaks our hearts when we hear of habitats being destroyed and creatures nearing extinction. Show us the small things we can do to help the situation and give us the will to carry them out. We pray for the countries around the world facing famine and strife. Please grant wisdom to the governments on how to do the best for their people, how to best use resources and help richer countries to be generous in their aid. We pray for those being kept captive against their will, for the remaining girls held by Boko Haram and other children who have been kidnapped. In their struggle, may they know your presence and peace. We pray for successful negotiations for their release. We pray for our government. Please guide them in the decisions they make. Grant them wisdom and depth of insight for each area that they are considering. Thank you for the vaccination program. Please may it continue to progress safely and quickly. We pray for an end to the COVID epidemic. Please help all those in the NHS. Grant them strength, wisdom, compassion in their work. Please bless Justin Welby and the bishops at this difficult time in the church's history. Help them to see the best way forward. Please bless all clergy as they seek to serve you and lead your people, especially Max and Susie and Vanda and others who lead our church. Thank you for them, dear Father. Please continue to look after our schools and the children as they get used to being back at school. We pray that you would be proclaimed in our schools, especially as we come up to Easter. We pray for those struggling with financial difficulty. Thank you for food banks. We pray that you would help those in need to see a way forward. We pray that you would draw near to those who are poorly in body, mind or spirit. And we pray for companionship for the lonely. Creator God, you made us all in your image. May we discern you in all that we see and serve you in all that we do. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And we bring those prayers and the prayers of our own hearts together in the prayer that Jesus taught us as we say together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, I hope that today has been really helpful in your walk with Jesus, that actually you're ready to move on. And as ever, if you want to have a discussion about that, do get in touch with me. I'd be more than happy to have that discussion. And in a moment, of course, if you're watching this live, we'll be jumping onto Zoom and having a cup of coffee and a chat in the Zoom room. You're more than welcome to join us in there, and we'll have that fun together for the next half an hour or so. Don't forget, this coming Wednesday, there won't be a streamed communion service, but St. Faith's do their one on Thursday, and we'll be back to normal in the following week. And of course, we'll be back here next Sunday. And don't forget as well, that actually we're coming up to Easter, and although we may not be in our buildings this Easter, we will definitely be having a series of opportunities for you to engage with God, including an Easter walk around the outside of St. Thomas's and Easter gardens in both St. Thomas's and St. Nicholas's. But for now, let me say to you, my friends, go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.